right. Are you focused on God tonight? Okay. That was convincing. Well, I hope you are. It's been a great conference. I've really enjoyed it. The preaching hasn't been too bad, but if you could turn in your Bibles with me tonight to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Someone guessed the passage before I could get to it. That's okay. But while you're turning there, I just want to share a bit about Labrador, if we will. Like I said, I mean, it's been exciting to be out there. Such a unique ministry opportunity out there for us right now. And many of you read the prayer letters. I hope someone reads them. And you know, we've just been sharing. And one real big blessing for us lately has just been that the Lord's provided us a place to stay in town. And then it's very inexpensive. And that's been really great because we really had no hope of living in town. The apartments can range from, you know, $2,500 a month upward to, you know, more than $3,000 a month. And I mean, it's just insane. And I mean, I don't make that much. And so it's just been a blessing. We've been able to get a very inexpensive place to use and to live so that we can have people into our home. That's something I've wanted to have a ministry out there where we have an open door policy and that people can come over and have tea and ask us questions and just so that I can be their pastor, you know. And we're excited to get back. There's someone there that wants to start a Bible study when we get back, so we're really excited about that. And we're hoping that God will do great things through that. I wanted to share a few things, give you a bit of the culture out there. A common compliment out there, you might find it interesting, is you're not too easy. That's what they say. And I guess it means, I don't know, you're not too lazy, or it just, you know, I was painting someone's house and just trying to get some contacts in the community and stuff like that, and they said, boy, you're not too easy. And I took it as a compliment because, you know, they're kind to me. Another one, a greeting in Labrador is how you getting on. And they say, how you getting on? And you say, well, this is it, bye. And it's just very unique, and I try to learn these things because it helps me to be able to relate to them. And they don't mind that an outsider, you know, is trying to talk like them. They think it's kind of funny, if anything. And another interesting one is a common Innu phrase. We have an Innu reserve just across the river from where we live right now. And a common Innu phrase there is not even. They say not even quite a lot, and it's sort of a catch-all phrase. And I guess it could mean, you know, perhaps that's not fair or that's not even, right? And, you know, if the loaf of bread is $4.50 or $5, they say, boy, that's not even. And different things like that. But lastly, I just wanted to share a common joke that they like to use out there, and it can really break the ice and kind of get you in on the inner circle of you know, friends there. And they like it when you say, what do you call an Innu man with a limp? Not even. And they think it's hilarious. And they really enjoy that. And I kind of like that sort of humor myself, so I fit right in there. And but tonight we're going to look at the idea of glorifying God. Glorifying God. We don't have too much time tonight, and I'll try not to keep you too late. But the idea here that I'd like to express here tonight is that we need to glorify God in our lives. I understand that, you know, you can come to church and you can worship God and you can sing songs. But did you know that we can worship God and our life can be worshipful to God? The way we live, the actions we do, the thoughts we think can glorify God. And they ought to glorify God. So we'll read here, our text verse tonight is 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The key here is doing all to the glory of God. Now, what strikes me as interesting here is that if we're supposed to eat and drink some of the most simple things in life, if we're supposed to do those to the glory of God, how much more should we go to work for the glory of God, or talk to our neighbors for the glory of God, or think on good things for the glory of God? I think it's important, and I think God wants us to give him glory. We see in our theme verse for the week that the Bible says that I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. And I think part of us exalting God is to glorify him with the actions of our life. We must try to do all to the glory of God, because he is the Lord God Almighty. He is the God of our salvation. To glorify God would be to lift him up in praise and adoration. Many times as Christians, we have lost our grasp on the holiness of God, on the fact that he deserves, and he is really the only one that deserves our glory. Many times as Christian, I feel that we've lost this. We've lost a grasp on this. Do you know that God is a holy God? Do you know that God is sovereign? God is deserving of our praise. He is deserving of our glory. Do you know that because the Lord is holy and he's all righteous, you know, he must judge sin with a supreme action? Are you afraid of sin? Do you quiver at the thought of sin in our life, or just perhaps parts in our life that may not completely honor God? Again, God didn't send his only son just so he could have part of our lives. He sent his son, he died for us so that he could have all of us. God wants all of us. Number one, I'd like to share that we need to live on purpose for the glory of God. Before we go any farther, I'd just like to stop and pray that God would be with us here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the time we can have here, Lord. We praise you for, Lord, the things that you've been able to show us, Lord, through this conference. Father, I pray here tonight that you would help us to truly understand what it means to glorify you, not just in singing or in doing things in charity, Lord, but I pray that you would help us to glorify you in the everyday things we do with our life. Father, I pray that we would glorify you and honor you with the actions of our life. Lord, I just ask you tonight that you'd be with us now, Lord. Lord, help me to say the things that, Lord, that are required here tonight. And I pray that when we all leave, Lord, that we would truly understand what it means to glorify you with our life, that we would want to glorify you with our life, that we would not only desire to, but that we would see that it is imperative. It is the only way to live, Lord. We pray that you would show us this. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, we need to see that we need to live on purpose for the glory of God. I was sharing with the youth group this past week that, you know, I never just ended up in Labrador. You know, one day wake up and, whoa, look, I never imagined this would happen. No. If we're going to do something for God, if we're going to live for God, it has to be on purpose. It has to be intentional. And if we're going to glorify God with our lives, it really needs to be intentional. It needs to be something that we work hard at every day to glorify God. If we in this Christian life ever want to do something that's worthwhile for the Lord, it's gonna be on purpose. Anything in our life that we're gonna do is gonna be on purpose. Therefore, if we're going to live godly, it needs to be on purpose. We must first tear down the idols in our life. I'd like us just to look back, if we will, at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 7. It says here, neither be ye adulterers, idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Sounds an awful lot like the culture today in Canada. We certainly do like to sit down and eat, drink, and play. But it says here that they were idolaters. They had things in their life that came before God. They had things in their life that were more important than glorifying God. We need to tear down the idols in our lives, in our life. In our case today, the idol may be self. It may be even a spouse or a family or a job or a special toy. But we need to put God first. We should always remember to pray that we don't put self first. It's so easy to put self first because, I mean, I'm kind of fond of myself. And I like, you know, it's hard to not put ourselves first, but we need to remember that we need to humble ourselves before God and to be still and to put God first in our life. Staying pure on purpose. Verse number 8, it says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. That's a lot of people. They were having trouble with staying pure. And I'll tell you, if we're going to stay pure as a church, if we're going to stay pure in our personal life, we need to do it on purpose. If we're going to live a godly life, it must be a pure life. We say, oh, you know, well, that's just something perhaps I struggle with once in a while, but, you know, I try to live for God. No. If we're going to live a godly life, if we're going to live a God-focused life, it must be pure. It must be unspotted by the world. How do we do that? Well, we put up safeguards. We put up safeguards. If you look down quickly in verse number 12, it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to be careful. We think, oh, you know, I'm okay, or I don't really need any of that. Well, you need to be careful. Because, I mean, you'd be surprised at the sin that you can get involved in without even realizing it. We need to live on purpose. We need to stay pure on purpose. Make a concerted effort to stay pure. And we can do that by putting up safeguards, by putting up different protections in our lives so that we don't have, problems with that. Secondly, God will provide a way of escape. We can see this in verse number 13. Yes, we were supposed to put up safeguards, but in verse number 13 it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but as such is common to man. But God is faithful. I'm so glad God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will provide a way of escape. He will provide a way of escape, but at the same time, we need to be careful too. You know, God wants us to live pure. God wants us, again, to glorify Him with our life. But it has to be on purpose. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy love for me. Remember that. Remember that we need to think and always be in remembrance that of what God has done for us, the pain He went through, the suffering He went through for us. And I don't know how really any Christian could be living in sin or struggling with sin without recalling the pain and the torture that Jesus went through for that sin. Secondly, I'd like us to see serving one God to the glory of God. Serving one God to the glory of God. Partaking from one table. Let's look down in verse number 17. Verse number 17, it says, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Look down in verse 18, it says, "Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar?" We are all in one body in the salvation that Christ has freely given us. Unity in the church goes a long way. It really does. It certainly will go a long way. Encourage one another. Strive together to serve God with each other. And you know what? You can do that to the glory of God. You can be kind to your neighbor. You can help, perhaps the person sitting across from you, to the glory of God. It may not always be comfortable. You may not always like it. But we can do things for others to the glory of God. We need to remember that we are one body. And I'll tell you what, if you have two left feet, it's very hard to walk. If you're dysfunctional or you're missing digits, I'll tell you, it's not as easy. It's not very easy. My brother first complained he lost half his pinky finger, and he said, "Boy, it's certainly hard to pick my nose now," because he lost his pinky finger. And you know what? I'll tell you, it's not easy when you have a body that isn't functioning as it should. We need to function together. We need to work together because, it's hard to get things done. Like in the case of my brother, it's hard to get things done when you're not functioning properly. Letter B underneath too, I'd like us to see that we need to be partaking from one table. You cannot have both, okay? You cannot have both. Let's read verses 19. It says, "What say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything?" Verse 20, "But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Now, I know this was talking about the different meats that were offered to idols and stuff, and they were having a bit of contention in the church with this. But we look at this, and the great truth is that you cannot, it says, drink the cup of from the Lord's table and the cup of devils. You cannot partake of one table and the other. You can't have it. You can't have both ways. The Bible says, you cannot serve two masters. But when we put idols up in our lives, we partake of the table of devils. And the Bible says here that you cannot partake of both. Do I still do a lot of the same things I used to do before I was saved? It's a good question to ask. Well then, what did God save you from? We aren't supposed to sin. Did you know that? God saved us from sin, not to sin. And, I love how Paul says, God saved us from sin. And we're not supposed to just praise God and thank Him for our salvation and then just go ahead and sin. And I'm sure that, perhaps most of you, if not all of you, may not be struggling with some grave sin or some terrible, immoral sin. But I'd like to encourage you tonight that we are to live holy lives. God wants us to live holy lives. And we need to live holy lives. God saved us from our sin, not so that we could sin without consequence. He saved us from our sin so that we could sin no more. The Bible talks about, you're either hot or you're cold, or the Bible says you're either fresh water or salt or light or darkness. The truth is that we can choose. Like we were talking about earlier, God has a final destination for us if we're saved. And it's really up to us which way we choose to get there. Personally, I take the safe route, the route of submission to God, because really, when you take the dangerous route, there's no telling what will happen. Yes, when Christ saves us, he does save us completely. Completely. Don't get me wrong, he does. But we also must remember that it's not the prayer that saves us. You know, you don't believe necessarily just a certain list of doctrines. But it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that saves us. It's the fact that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again. We need to know that, you know, living a life of submission to him and surrender to him is all a part of being a Christian. Number three, and lastly, I would just like to share that we need to live wholeheartedly for God. We need to live wholeheartedly for God to the glory of God. God wants the glory. He deserves the glory. He deserves all the glory. We notice here in verse 31, it says, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. And again, that's not just a pick and choose. That's not just a suggestion. But God's asking us, hey, you know, he created us. And not only that, but when we, through our own selfish will, severed the tie that connected us, he was willing to send his son to reconnect that tie and to save us from our sins so that we could have a relationship with him. You think that God deserves us living wholeheartedly for him? Not just halfway in, not just sitting on the fence, not just being lukewarm, but he wants us to serve him. And I'll tell you what, if we can learn to do that, I'll tell you there's no other life like it. There is no other life like it. And you know, sometimes we see so much exciting things in the world, perhaps, or, you know, exciting jobs or sports or whatever it may be, but there's nothing more exciting than living for God. Nothing more exciting. One thing that really gets me is, you know, we need to remember what God has done. We need to remember, we need to live wholeheartedly for him because of the next generation. Okay, we need to think of the next generation, not just us, not just the here and now, but I'll tell you what, you know, it's important that we think of our kids. I'd like, if we could, just to flip back really quickly to Psalms chapter number 78. Psalms chapter number 78. In verse number 1. And if we can, we'll just read here. It's so important to live a life that glorifies God. It's so important to exalt the name of the Lord and to remember what he's done for us in our lives and what he's done in the past so that the future, so that our children and the next generation will know that he is God. We'll know that God isn't just some sort of a fairy tale or something they learned in Sunday school, but he's real. Let's read here in Psalms chapter number 1, or sorry, Psalms chapter 78 and verse 1, it says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. I'd like to stop there just for a second. Do you see what's happening? He's saying, hey, we need to remember these things. We need to not only remember these things, but as we experience these things and God does things in our life, we need to be sure to share them. I mean, it's so good to see a testimony time that we had here tonight. I mean, it's so good to share the works of the Lord that God's doing in our lives. In verse number 5, it says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. We see here the importance of it is to let the generation to come know the amazing things that God has done in our lives and in times past. We need to understand that as we glorify God in our lives, we need to remember that there's other people watching, you know, and we need to make sure that as we're glorifying God through our life, that we tell others of what God is doing. We need to tell others that God is doing amazing things. Because it says there in verse 7 that they might set their hope in God. And that's what it's all about. I mean, we were talking about the promise that God has given us this weekend. And I mean, we've set our hope in that promise. The men and the women in Hebrews 11, they set their hope in that promise. And I mean, there's no greater thing to think that someday my children and my grandchildren will set their hope in God. I mean, there's no greater joy. And I mean, we need to remember that as we're glorifying God, make his works be known. Let people know the amazing things that God is doing in your life and the amazing things that God has did in the Bible and men through the ages. We need to make God's glory known. So I pray tonight that, you know, as we go our separate ways, you know, it's not really a grand finale tonight, but I hope that through this conference and through the time that I've been able to have together here, that we've learned to be still. That we've learned to really get in touch with God and get focused on God. And that through all that, through knowing God more and yielding more of our lives to him, that ultimately, day by day, we can glorify God through our lives. Because I tell you, there's no greater thing than being able to make our lives, a living sacrifice to God, like it says. I just ask you, you know, as we go, just keep in mind, you know, day by day and through this week to come that we need to be a living sacrifice for God. We need to glorify God through the everyday actions of our life. Because that's what being a Christian is all about. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the absolutely wonderful opportunity I've had, Lord, to preach and to share with these people, Lord, my heart and the thoughts that you've given me. Lord, I pray that as we go our separate ways tonight, that, Lord, we would leave changed. God, we understand now that it's vitally important that we are submitted to you constantly, that we be still, so that we can know that you are God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to exalt you and exalt who you are in our life, so that not only our families would know the works that you've done, but so that even unsaved people would know that you're God and that there's something different about us. Lord, please help us as we go to remember to glorify you in our lives. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all the things you've done. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.